about. So easy.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Okay, try it now, man.
Okay. Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3,
hey,
testing.
Man, don't test it, man. That's why the mic's not working, because you're spitting all over it. Come on, now. Don't spit, man. Just start. Okay, oh. Just a minute. Let me see if it's on.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
And we are going to have a live concert right behind me from NAMI Graminated, platinum-selling artist Aloe Black. NAMI Graminated, NAMI Graminated, NAMI Graminated.
Well, a very, very heavy vibration tonight. We had a very Darrison. But let's go to Terrace and look for the bit. They have the pit.
Kevin, God damn it.
And now.
It's had all the funny parts on it, all the good parts, celebrities, dancing stuff, and music.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:36. It's Tuesday, the 9th of February.
How come Allie gets jury duty and I don't?
Well,
it's infuriating.
I've tried to explain this to you before, but in the court system, they need a jury of their peers.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think you qualify.
I'm super peer. Are
you kidding
me? I
don't think you're peer at all.
I'm the king of peer.
Yeah, who's your peer?
Everybody, all the people that I live near, all my neighbors and fellow citizens. My wife got a jury summons on Saturday,
right,
by the way, to add insult to injury. Allie is out with jury duty today. She got a jury summons in the King County Superior Court,
right,
for the end of March.
Right, and that's fine.
So she
should happen.
She gets to be on a jury.
Yes, because she understands human beings.
Where's mine?
They have identified you as one of the few that will not ever get one.
So you think I've been flagged?
Yes.
You think I have been purposefully excluded from the database?
Well, you tell me if anything else makes more sense for a guy who has voted and
has a driver's license
and has a radio show and has said so many times that he wants to serve on a jury. What's the leading contender for the reason why you're not getting it?
I can't even imagine. I am so peery. I would so be a great juror. I really would. Because you know me, Kevin. I can tell if somebody's guilty just by looking at them.
Guilty!
That's my superpower, sending people to the electric chair.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that everybody that is in court needs to go to the electric chair. See, that might be problem one right there.
They will when I'm done with them.
All right.
Hey, let's talk about that some more when Allie gets back, because I'm so excited. Now, was she joking in her email last night when she wrote to us to say she had jury duty when she wrote murder? Does she know ahead of time that it's a murder case, or was she just joking?
No. That was a joke.
That was a joke.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because you know how she always is afraid of murder.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So, all right, speaking of death, I was fascinated, and there's a reason I'm bringing this up. I was fascinated with all the animals that can kill you in the beautiful country of India. You ever been to India?
I have not.
I haven't either, and I was surprised to see how many different ways you can die just living there. In India, for instance, how many people do you think are killed by snake bites every year?
Snake bites? Boy,
yes.
I would have no way of knowing. I would say 6 or 7.
Over 50,000 a year are killed
really?
By snake bites. Over 50,000 a year.
So I was in the ballpark.
The Royal Bengal tiger is one of the deadliest animals in India. It kills approximately 800 to 1,000 people per year. You can also die by bear attacks, elephant attacks. There are over 86 different species of scorpions found in India. The common red Indian scorpion bite kills about 75 people per year in India. You're just going about your day, and the next thing you know, you get bit by a red scorpion and you're dead.
Yeah, that's not ideal.
There are crocodiles. There are monkeys, obviously. That's what India is famous for, is monkeys being everywhere, right?
Okay, monkey baby.
Oh, please don't with that.
Can you imagine?
Please don't.
Puppy monkey baby going around in India just killing people.
So why is this on my mind today? Because there is a news story this week in Bangalore.
Puppy monkey baby.
Which is a southern city of India at the Vibgyor High School there, an international school in the southern city of India's Bangalore. and a leopard showed up at school the other day.
Is there any animal that kills other things that is not in India? Because it sounds like they have everything.
India has their fair share. They sure do. This is an 8-year-old male leopard spotted inside a school building. There is footage online. I watched it this morning. It is captured by the CCTV cameras there at the school. And this leopard just comes in and you see it going down the halls. Every time it encounters a person, it attacks that person. It's not just casually moseying by. You see people, you know, hitting it with their backpacks and just throwing things at it, doing everything they can to get this India off of them. It was there for 10 hours, by the way, this leopard was. Lockdown of the school, news cameras showed up, and at one point in the video, you actually see a leopard attacking the news camera guy who shows up.
Did he think his camera would protect him?
I don't know what he thought, but I did bring in a little bit audio. Of course, it's more effective if you can see the video, but this is what it's like if you're walking down the hall in your school and you get attacked by a leopard. Can you hear that?
Yeah, it sounds like Peyton Manning in a football game.
Yes, it does. So they tried to quarter the animal. You see it scaling a fence. It's unbelievable. It just climbs right up this wall. I don't know how it had anything to grab onto, but it goes on this wall and then goes over to the other side and goes to other parts of the school. They eventually were able to hit it with a tranquilizer dart. Thing.
That sounded like a cannon.
Yeah, I did. But listen to that leopard. That's a leopard. I mean, that's a person's day as he gets up in the morning and he just goes to school.
Being you're late for class. Why? Leopard? Not good enough. Everybody else that's here had a leopard attack.
Nobody was killed. 6 people were hurt during the incident. They've all been treated for minor injuries. They did subdue the animal. He was transported to a national park. But apparently it is increasingly common in lots of places in the world where, you know, people are expanding, they're building more and more things, and there's less and less jungle, and these cats got to go somewhere.
Yeah, so that seems bad.
I'll send you the video if you want, but it's just a crate. I mean, look, you may encounter a lion at Starbucks today to get your latte.
A lion?
A lion.
Oh.
I'm just saying, let's keep it in perspective here. When you get frustrated on your way into work or school today, you don't have to worry about a leopard coming and attacking you in math class.
That's what Bede does, is he lifts us up and looks at things with a positive look.
I'm all about the upside.
Well done. Let's talk about today's Kevin Amico, shall we?
If you're only going to have boring suggestions, I'd rather talk about something else.
The Bachelor Report.
Yes.
On the program today, Ralph and Petros Papadakis will catch us up on last night's Bachelor.
I bet it was the most dramatic Bachelor ever.
I bet it was. We also have Malcolm Jamal Warner, who plays A.C. Cowling in the American Crime Story, People vs. O.J. Simpson. The slow speed chase.
Yep. Tonight's the night. We get to see that.
That was I don't know people who are alive during that time that don't remember where they were when they saw that.
Yeah, because it was just one of the craziest things ever.
Yeah, it was just insane. And we've also got Hayley Atwell.
Oh, yeah, we do.
Who plays Agent Carter. We're very excited about that as well. We're going to talk to her just after 6, so in about a half hour, right here on the world-famous K-Rock. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beatnik. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
Beautiful, talented actress Hayley Atwell is Agent Peggy Carter, and she will join us just after 6 o'clock this morning here on the Kevin Beach Show on K-Rock. That's pretty rare to get a big star up at 6 o'clock in the morning, right?
My old co-star.
How many scenes did you have with her there, Ralph?
Oh, I can't even count them. I can't even count them, Kevin. It's hard to remember how many.
Because they don't go to one?
Oh, Bean, how are you going to treat him like that?
This is why he's not on a jury.
Did you hear him describe who his peers were?
I'm peery. I'm super peery. I couldn't be more peerier.
Thank you, Ralph.
The people that are around me, they're my peers.
Got to get on a jury, you guys. It's going to happen one day.
No way.
Anyway, very excited to talk to you.
I'm going to make it my life's mission to keep Bean off a jury.
I like it.
I don't know how you go about doing that, but I'm going to do it.
All right. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Tuesday morning. What's going on?
Well, first of all, big day for anniversaries. On this day, big day for Kevin, I know. You celebrate every year on this date, Kevin, because I know you always celebrate the date that the Beatles first performed on the Ed Sullivan Show.
Yay!
When America was introduced to 2 or 4 lovable mop tops, and they burst into our national consciousness. I don't know if you know this or not, Kevin, but when the Beatles arrived on the scene, especially on the Ed Sullivan Show, we grew hair.
Finally. We grew hair?
Yeah.
We didn't have hair before then?
Nope. We grew hair, and we were happy because John F. Kennedy put us in that bad situation.
John F. Kennedy put us in a bad... I'm not good with history, but that does... Is that right?
I have it on good authority. All those things happened when the Beatles...
And when the Beatles arrived in America, it really changed...
Right.
Our lives.
See?
I mean, look, we grew hair when the Beatles were on television.
Right.
We started bands.
Yep, started bands.
Started
for the first
dressing
time.
Cooler.
First time dressed cool.
But before all that happened, it was news about the Beatles.
Right.
It was John F. Kennedy was really put everybody in a sad position.
He actually did do that. He's
and
a dick.
And the Beatles arrived
right.
and sort of changed everybody's lives.
Yes. Right.
Basically.
Basically, they changed all of our lives.
You were dead on, Ralph.
Look, I'm a student of history.
Wow.
I remember everyone growing hair.
Sure.
In 1964, after this day. I think the next day people start growing hair.
And they were all bald before that,
exactly.
Right?
Everybody, it was like just a bunch of just smooth people in America.
And there were no bands.
There were no bands. Nobody dressed cool.
Okay.
I believe...
it's a pretty big thing.
I believe flower sacks were the clothing of the day back in the early 60s. And then we started dressing cooler.
That's right.
And of course, Kennedy, that bastard, put us in that sad situation.
He sure did.
Him putting us all sad.
Hey, the Beatles invented us. Let's just put it that way.
Right. I forgot that part of history.
Did you say the Beatles invented us?
I remember when the Beatles invented America. They came here, and it was just, I think it was just a jungle.
Okay.
And then they landed... And then they invented America. And they said, we dub thee America. And they hit everybody with a harpsichord.
Okay.
And then...
It's pretty big thing to hit them
way
with.
To get in line. They would just tap you on the shoulder, like the queen does when she knights somebody.
Sure.
And then they invented us. So it was pretty cool.
Wow.
Yeah, big day. And of course, on this day back in 1942, Kevin... Daylight savings time was invented for the first time.
Oh, it's my favorite daylight savings time. I think you misspoke there. I think
like daylight savings.
Back then, of course, it wasn't daylight savings time at all. It was called wartime.
Wartime.
And it was done to conserve fuel because, of course, we were in the midst of World War II. So daylight savings time also having its first anniversary.
Why don't you call it wars time while you're at it?
Good. Wars it is.
Wars it is. Congratulations to our friend L. King. How great was she at Acoustic Christmas, by
great.
The way?
What a voice.
Doors off the place. She is engaged. Her boyfriend, Fergie, asked her to marry him on a sailboat under the Golden Gate Bridge. Ah, we suck. We'll never propose to anyone as cool as that in
yeah,
that fashion.
True.
She said yes, and so she's going to get married.
All right.
I'm happy for her. And I am happy that Hugh Jackman is on the mend. Another diagnosis of skin cancer for the movie star.
Hmm.
He's battling the disease for the fourth time, and he posted a photo on Instagram of himself with his bandaged nose. And, of course, he does this to raise awareness. He's a big advocate for defending yourself against the sun and urged his followers to please use sunscreen. I guess if there was one piece of advice he could give us,
right.
Use sunscreen would be it. Get regular checkups, he said, and then warned everyone. This is an example of what happens when you skip the SPF, so make sure you take care of yourself because it's, you know, a lot of people don't consider melanoma and cancers of the skin to be up there when it comes to dangers, but it's a brutal and devastating disease. And if Allie McKay was here, she would tell you the same because she had to battle it as well. So,
do you guys use sunscreen?
Look at me. Yes. I'm either bright red.
Yeah, but you
or
burn
bright
all the
white.
Time, so it's not,
yeah.
You're not a guy who uses it.
I use it. I don't burn all the time.
Almost every time you're out anywhere that involves you being
maybe
in the sun for a prolonged period of time, you come back beet red, Kevin. What's wrong with you? You come in with a sunburn almost every time you're out in a prolonged situation
no,
in the sun.
I don't.
Why do you say that? You
because
are.
Because I don't. I use sunscreen. Maybe sometimes I don't use enough, but I'm very aware that I'm painfully white.
Are you drinking it, Kevin?
Is that maybe the problem? That's how you're supposed
no.
to take it, right?
Aware of how
what?
Do you apply it?
You put it on your skin.
Yes.
That's ridiculous.
It's supposed to be applied externally.
Yeah, you rub it on your face.
Hold on. Let me make a note.
Kevin uses suppository after. Apparently, it's not working as well as he would like.
Everything in my life is a suppository.
I do it all the time. I'm constantly slathering on SVPF. Today's celebrity birthdays. Michael B. Jordan, 29 years old today. I'm surprised he retired because he's only 29. He could have played more. I mean, I know he didn't do so well with the Wizards, but he could have. I think he could have got another ring in Chicago. Maybe he left a little bit
Fruitvale Station guy
early.
Nope, different guy.
Tom Hiddleston's 35 years old. Actor Charlie Day, you know him from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia and Horrible Bosses, 40 years old. And Joe Pesci, where's Joe Pesci? Where is Joe Pesci?
Where is Joe Pesci?
Hey, Joe Pesci, what are you doing? I love him. Always makes me laugh.
Make you laugh how, Ralph? How do I make you laugh? What am I, a clown for your amusement?
Just saying, make me laugh, Joe. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right, we've all been looking forward to this for a long time, so nobody screw it up, okay?
Look in the mirror, mister.
I'm just saying, this is a big deal for all of us because this young lady has been on our wish list since the debut episode of Agent Carter on ABC. It is in season two right now, Tuesday nights at 9 o'clock. We are thrilled to welcome for the first time on the Kevin and Bean Show actress Hayley Atwell joining us. Hey, Hayley, how are you?
What an amazing introduction. I'm great. How are you guys?
Very good. Thank you.
We're fantastic. And I'm not lying when I say that since the night your show debuted, we have been such huge fans and we've been bugging our producer to get you on the phone. But we know how busy you are, so we're glad you made some time for us. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. It must be really early where you are.
It is, yes.
In the morning or something. Yes. Oh, my goodness. How do you guys do it?
A paycheck.
A paycheck and lots of caffeine.
That's right.
And some cocaine at times.
Oh, of course.
Too much sharing.
Why not?
Too much sharing.
If we're being honest.
It's a very, very healthy diet right there in the world.
So, Hayley, we've got a bunch of questions for you. So I'll start and ask, how do you like living for a portion of so many days in 1947? How do you like the clothes and the cars and the lifestyle of being in that era on your show?
Well, I like the final effect. I like the look. I have no patience with the getting ready. I don't understand how they did it. Women in pin curls and pristine makeup every day. And that's if they worked in a factory or a shop or in an office. It's amazing to me because I'm such a slob and a tomboy. And I never like to wear makeup unless I'm working. So I'm like, oh. You know, 5 o'clock in the morning, sat in the makeup chair going, really, again? But then I kind of realize that I'm being ridiculous. And then I look in the mirror and it looks fabulous. And it changes how I walk, how I move, how I breathe. It definitely gets me into the role of Peggy. And it's great. And the good thing is, because the costumers make it for me, I can eat loads of cookies on set. And if I just get fat, they just take out the costume of it.
Pretty sweet.
It's really comfortable.
Do you have people who love the attire, people who love the clothes that you wear and that kind of stuff? Time period?
I've met quite a few at the conventions.
At conventions?
The fans of the show who I've met who dress up as Peggy. There's been actually a man that dressed up as Peggy that looked better in the outfit than I did.
No, really I doubt that. No, that doesn't seem no
way. But it's true, he had such amazing legs, and I was like, damn you, how do you do that?
You know, Hayley, Peggy has become sort of an icon for women who are especially comic book fans and who love fantasy and sci-fi. You do see a lot of Peggy's at the conventions now. This character has really captured the imagination of a lot of women. It's fun.
Mm-hmm. It has. It's really lovely because also I think she's a really good person. She's doing the best she can given the circumstance she finds herself in. But she also has that great tagline at the end of the first season, I know my value. And to have a heroine on camera who's going, I know my self-worth, and it doesn't depend upon the opinions of people around me. In fact, it can't, because all the opinions of everyone else around her are pretty negative at the start. So it's just she's very empowering and a very empowered person. And I think that's kind of something that a lot of people can relate to. And guys, you know, young boys as well, they kind of go, oh, yeah, you're kind of cool. Yeah, I like that. I dig that. And it's really lovely. It just means I've got to be my best behavior all the time.
Yeah. And one of the things that that makes the show so fun is it's, you know, being set in the 1940s, Peggy is always surprising all the men around her who underestimate her so much. And, you know, it's hard to believe that. Look, some would argue that that is still the way of the world, but I feel like we've advanced a long way in the last 60 years. But it must be that must be very effective for a lot of people who realize, hey, girls can do anything.
Yeah, for anyone that for women in particular who are still kind of have inherited any self-doubt that has come from generations before us, this is one of those shows which goes absolutely the truth of who we are is that we are capable human beings. And that confidence and self-esteem is crucial to our ability to succeed in whatever industry we want to go into. So that feels like it's something it's universal that people can relate to. I think Peggy, what's great about it is that she loves men. You know, she's not a feminist in the sense of the old idea of feminism being something that was just kind of, you know, male haters. She's the opposite. She loves men. And she's kind of deals with the sexism with a kind of bemused tolerance, I think, because she uses her wit and her intelligence first to kind of overcome it all. And I love that. And then if that doesn't work, she just punches him in the face.
Yes, very good at that.
Speaking of the punching, Haley, you are remarkably convincing in the fight scenes and the action sequences in the film. I saw you working the heavy bag a couple episodes ago, and you were really laying into it. It looked very impressive. Do you have a background in martial arts or stage fighting or anything?
I did a little bit of stage fighting at drama school. They kind of prep you for all of that, you know, from fencing to unarmed combat. But I also played rugby when I was a child growing up. Yeah, full contact girls rugby. And we were eighth in the country for under 18s for school kids. So we did pretty well. And I think that just made me inhabit the aggressive side of my character. So when it came to the stunts, I tackled it with a lot of confidence and very little skill, which amazingly goes a long way.
This is the voice of actress Haley Atwell on The Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about Marvel's Agent Carter, which airs Tuesday nights at 9 on ABC. We're in the second season of the show. I know you had the creator of Agent Carter, Stan Lee, on in a cameo last year. Did you get a chance to talk to him very much, pick his brain on the origins of the character and how he has seen it evolve over the years?
No, I didn't. Last time I saw him at a convention, I said, Stan, went up to him, gave him a kiss. He was so lovely. And then he walked away, and I heard him say to his assistant, who's that?
Oh.
Like,
so you punched him?
No, actually, I roped him into doing a dub smash with me. So, he was amazing. In fact, I remember at the end of a convention, I fell on the floor. On the floor in a dramatic flourish because I was the end of all the photographs I had been taking, and I was really tired. And I opened up my eyes, and there's Stan Lee looking over me, completely confused what this crazy woman's doing on the floor. And I was like, "Oh God!" And then I call him my creator every time I see him. I'm like,
well, he is
my creator. He is, and he's wonderful. What I love about him is that he has such enthusiasm for what he does. And he's so joyous and kind and engaging. And I just love that after all these years, he still gets a great kick out of what he does.
Yeah, he's having the time of his life. And Kevin always mentions every time we have Mr. Lee on that he is so much sharper in his close to his mid-90s now than we are. Mm. And it's just, I think you're right. I think it's because he's just loving his life so much.
Absolutely. We can learn, I think, a lesson or two from Stan Lee.
What can you tell us about tonight's episode of Agent Carter?
I don't know because I don't have a television.
Oh.
I don't know what episode you're on. Tell me.
You're trying to save California from an atomic weapon.
As you do, of course.
Sure, but,
as you do.
There's going to be lots of huffing and puffing.
Okay.
And gun pointing, I imagine. Fabulous outfit. Is there still sexual tension between myself and Sousa and Wilkes? I think
that romantic triangle is still going on. Yes,
yes, you've kissed the one time, and you're still into him, even though he's sort of a ghost.
God, that's difficult, isn't it? Yeah, that was hard. I had no kind of reference in my personal life to know how to play that kind of scene. I've never been in love with a ghost, so
well,
that was a bit tricky.
Well, it is a it's a fantastic series, and it's been so much fun for us to see, you know, to see it, you know, since the character moved back to Los Angeles and see all the stuff you talk about and getting into the film business in the 40s. It's just much fun. It's so much fun on so many levels. And if people have not yet checked out Marvel's Agent Carter, then you are a bad person and you're no friend of ours. Tuesday nights at 9 on ABC. We've been looking forward to this for so much so long now, Haley, and it did not disappoint. We really enjoyed talking to you.
Bless you. Thank you so much.
You bet. You bet.
Have a lovely day. Take care.
You too. Bye now.
Hard to believe that Michael Jackson has been gone for nearly 7 years now.
Yeah. Wow.
But it's amazing how often his name comes up in the world of entertainment. I mean, Super Bowl halftime show. Beyonce came out a couple of days ago wearing that outfit that was just like the one that Michael Jackson wore when he did the halftime show back in the 90s. There's that new Spike Lee documentary about the making of Off the Wall that they just premiered at Sundance that everybody's raving about. I can't wait to see that. That sounds great. And then there's a new movie that is being made about the most fascinating road trip in the world. And we thought we might talk to our dear friend Michael Jackson about it personally. Can we dial up the hotline to heaven, please? And get him on the line here. Hello, Michael. There he is.
Get out.
How you doing, sir?
How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Excellent. Great. Thank you.
I was just talking about this Vanity Fair article that is now being turned into a movie. I think most of our listeners have not heard about this crazy road trip that you allegedly went on.
I didn't allegedly go on. I went on a road trip after 9/11 with Elizabeth Taylor and Marlon Brando.
So the three of you got in a car because you couldn't fly anywhere after 9/11, and you drove all the way to L.A.?
Well, we never actually made it all the way to L.A.
Oh.
We ended up in Ohio.
Okay.
And then we flew from Ohio to California.
I see.
But how can three people so famous just hit the road and not be, like, why wasn't that a big story at the time? Why weren't there sightings of Marlon Brando at the rest stop?
Well, you'd be surprised to know. But after 9/11, some other things were going on.
Oh, I see.
People were a little preoccupied with other things.
Oh, I see.
Like whether we were all going to die or not.
Okay. So you, Elizabeth Taylor, and Marlon Brando just hit the road.
We rented a car, and the three of us got in the car and drove west. And we only made it as far as Ohio because, well, we had to change a tire.
Right.
Because Marlon ate the tires.
Oh, well, he did have a famous appetite.
He did, yes, you're right. He enjoyed eating quite a bit.
He didn't skimp on food.
He was not a thin man.
No.
Did not choose not to eat a lot.
Right. He was a big dude with a healthy appetite.
He would enjoy eating large amounts.
Right.
Food.
He wasn't turning anything down.
In often very short periods of time, he would ingest an enormous amount of different cuisines, and then shortly thereafter, he would also once again choose to eat a lot of food.
Eat again. Okay, all right, so he ate a tire, and then so what else happened? What are we going to see in this movie? And by the way, what do you think about the casting of the film that has been announced?
It seems like everyone's very upset about the casting.
Well, I mean, it is British actor Joseph Fiennes, who is a white dude.
First of all, I had a $5 bet saying you wouldn't get that last name right.
All right.
Now I got to pay you.
Pay the man, bitch.
You thought Kevin was going to say Fiennes?
I sure thought Finn's was coming.
All right, so he's white, and you were not the darkest African American in the world, but you're still an African American. A lot of people are very offended, especially in this, you know, hashtag Oscar so white days. Like, how can you cast a white man to play a black dude?
I understand where some people, especially African-American actors, might be upset. I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But I still am and always have been someone who believes in diversity.
Right.
And I think in a day and age where traditionally white characters are being played by African-American actors, that it's okay for a white actor to play an African-American character. So I have no problem with Joseph Fiennes playing me in the film. Because there are many famous roles before I died that I was going to remake that were traditionally white. And I was going to reboot the franchises and star in the roles.
You were going to make movies before?
I was. Before I passed, I had plans to remake The Godfather. I was going to play Don Vito Corleone in a new Godfather film.
That would have been a terrible idea, Michael.
No, it wouldn't. It would have been brilliant. And why Godfather, hashtag Godfather so white?
Well, look, I'm sad you died, but I'm glad that movie didn't get made.
Listen.
Yes.
I'll make you an offer that you can't refuse.
Yeah, I'm not sure. See, I don't feel like that would have worked.
You come to me on the day of my daughter's wedding. Uh-huh. When I can't refuse you nothing.
Okay, right. You're just doing a stereotypical Italian accent that's not even realistic.
And there may be a day where I ask you for a favor.
Right, I don't. It's not a favor. Nobody says that.
I also was going to reprise the role of Travis Bickle in Taxi Driver.
Well, that doesn't make any sense either.
Are you talking to me?
Really have the.
I don't see anyone else around here in this area, so you must be talking to me, I think.
You don't really have the danger for that role, the street smarts, either.
I'm looking at the man in the mirror.
Right, because he had that scene with the mirror,
and
right.
I think you're talking to me, and I don't see anyone else around here.
Gotcha.
I don't feel like you could pull off that line.
No, not a good fit.
I was also going to play the role of Scarface in a new Scarface.
Okay. You think you could do Pacino?
Well, I wouldn't. I would be Michael Jackson.
Okay.
Scarface. I would take on that famous role, and that's a Latin character, but I could play him.
Mm-hmm.
Say hello to my little friend, and don't ask why he's not wearing any underwear.
Oh, come on. Mm. Come on. Don't make those noises after that. If you wouldn't mind.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53.
Who's watching American Crime Story, the O.J. Simpson? Ralph, you watching?
No.
So good.
So good.
We're going to talk to actor Malcolm Jamal Warner coming up just after 7. He plays O.J.'s friend Al Cowlings. Tonight is the recreation of the dramatic slow speed chase where O.J. was running for his life and we all thought he was going to commit suicide in the back of that car.
Oh, how'd it turn out?
He did not.
Spoiler alert, for God's sakes, man.
Geez.
But how fun must... Well, we'll talk to Malcolm Jamal Warner about it coming up, but how fun must have that been to recreate that low-speed chase out there?
How fun must it have been?
Yeah. Putting yourself in something he no doubt watched on TV, and now you get to play that part. I bet that's exciting as an actor, where you're recreating something so iconic.
We will ask him just after 7.
Hmm. All right. First, though, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday. What's going on?
Oscar.
Why are you singing that?
It's going to be my big opening number for the Oscars when I host.
When I'm sorry?
Well, someday when I host.
I see.
The Oscars, of course, are coming up. Biggest award show of the year by far. And here's the nice thing, that the rich and famous people who appear on the Oscars get a little something for their troubles. Hey, thanks for coming by. As Distinctive Assets puts it, this is the company that puts together the swag bag for the people who appear on the Oscars. It's a thank you to the people who are donating their time free of charge to this high-profile event.
Wow, you
so
don't get paid
finally
to be on the
Oscars. Exactly, you don't get paid. And so the poor people like Jennifer Lawrence and Julia Roberts and George Clooney, finally, they can have a little something. They get a little taste.
Something
they get
nice.
A little taste of the Hollywood money machine. They get a bag full of nice parting gifts.
Well, that's nice that there's something in it for them.
Like, they get some M&Ms. That would be nice to find in your swag bag, right?
Sure.
Personalized M&Ms. M&Ms with your name on it.
Oh.
Makes it a little special. That'd be nice to dig in there.
Nice.
Oh, what do I have to get out of the way to get to the M&Ms? How about my 10-day first class trip to Israel? That's worth $55,000. You found that in the bag. That's pretty cool.
Wow.
A year's worth of unlimited Audi car rentals from Silver Car. That's worth $45,000.
Jeez.
How about a 15-day walking tour of Japan worth $45,000? That's a little gift certificate you find in there.
And this is for what? To do what? Just to come to the ceremony?
No, not everyone in the audience gets this.
No. I'm saying of the nominees, though. This is just if you're nominated for an Oscar, you get all of this free stuff.
I think if you participate in the award show, if you're on stage,
okay,
if you appear on the show, you get this gift bag.
So 15 seconds of work, walking up to a podium and reading a list of names. You get a three-week trip to Israel.
Hey, man, you don't know.
You don't know. You're not there.
You've never done that. 15-day walking tour of Japan. I throw that right back in their fat faces. I'm not walking. You know who I am? George freaking Clooney. You want me to walk around Japan? You get me a rickshaw. Or whatever it is they use to carry important people around in. Not walking Japan.
It would be carried by a Sherpa.
You get, it's just a list. It's, it goes on and on and on, the list of things you get in this gift bag. Antiperspirant, which comes in handy, I guess. Okay. Weight loss gummies. Private training sessions from a trainer.
Okay.
Free stays at hotels in Italy, like Lake Como and Sorrento. Free stay at the Golden Door Spa in California. Laser skin tightening procedure. The vampire breast lift, which uses blood to enhance the appearance of a woman's breasts.
Oh.
You get that?
Oh.
No. I was just, I'm trying to visualize how that would work.
But
first, you got a vampire bean.
Right.
And they suck your neck.
That's
and
have... not how that works at all. It's called vampire because it uses the blood, the woman's own blood, to lift her breasts.
I see.
Not sure exactly how, but I'm sure there's a procedure involved.
Everything that you're announcing right now, this is all in one bag?
All one bag. Free clothing, skin creams, jewelry, a sex toy.
I'm sorry?
You heard me. The Noel Fiera arouser for her. It's a $250 sex toy. Boom. That's going to be buzzing in the bottom of your bag as you're walking to the governor's ball. And, of course, the best thing I'm sure that everyone will appreciate, the best toilet paper money can buy.
Which is what?
Joseph Toiletries, the Welcomer. It's called the Welcomer. Six packs of the most soothing and absorbent bathroom tissue in the world. At the value of $275. That's what it would cost you if you bought a six-pack of the Welcomer.
What?
But now you get to go home and just, enjoy the luxurious pleasure of rubbing the Welcomer all over your butt. Right? Who wants some of the Welcomer?
I did not expect to hear this
morning.
Wouldn't
you like to use the Welcomer after that Bowl party? Couldn't you have used a nice six-pack of the Welcomer after that chili dip? And Fritos that you've been enjoying for 8 hours? The Welcomer.
Wouldn't you want to try it just to know how they could possibly charge that much money for it?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's insane.
Most of these people use $275 in dollar bills to wipe their butt, and now they get to use the Welcomer. So that's what you get when you're rich and famous, people. Like I've always said, nothing's more important than being rich and famous.
I felt like even a few years ago, the value of the swag bag at the Oscars was like $10,000.
And we were saying, wow, that's a lot.
Yeah. And now it's how much did you say?
$250,000.
That's unbelievable.
That's the total.
Bernie Sanders is not going to let that stand.
Enough is enough, says Bernie. The ratings are in for Super Bowl.
Yes. Did it do well?
Any guesses?
Anyone watch it?
Any guesses?
Any guesses? I don't know. Isn't typical like 28, 30 million? So I'd say 30 million.
I'm sorry. What happened now?
You're talking about in the 60s, Kevin?
No.
You're talking about the MASH finale?
No.
114.4 million viewers watched the Super Bowl in last year. That was Patriots Seahawks.
Oh, okay.
So numbers were down just a bit this year, with only 112 million Americans watching.
Oh, that's all.
That's all. So that makes it the third largest audience for a TV show ever. Pretty gigantic.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Not too bad at all.
What do you make of the 206 million Americans who didn't watch any of the Super Bowl?
What do we make of them?
What do you make of them?
They weren't interested.
What are you going to do?
So...
But can you imagine?
Yes, of course.
Do you know anyone who didn't watch any of the Super Bowl? I don't.
Not in our world, but there's lots of other people with other lives.
I understand that. I'm just saying.
And you don't apparently understand.
I do. I'm just saying the fact. Look, we talk about the Super Bowl being so huge, and it is.
Right.
But still, even as big as it is, there are over 200 million people in the country who didn't watch a minute of it. That's even more shocking to me. Like, didn't even have enough interest to tune in.
Well,
Does that sound... Why does that sound weird to you?
Why is that surprising?
People that don't have any interest in football or the Super Bowl would do something else.
But that's the thing about the Super Bowl is it's such a big event.
But it's still a football game.
It goes beyond people who care about sports. People tune in for the celebrities. They tune in for the commercials.
Some of those people.
For the halftime. There's a lot of reasons to tune in.
I don't feel like it's shocking that people don't want to watch it.
I don't think it's shocking that most people don't share an interest in most things.
I agree. I 100% agree with
that. You don't seem to agree because you're stunned.
But when we're talking about the Super Bowl...
But it's still a football game.
I still would have expected...
Everyone would watch it, apparently.
No, but at least half the country would watch the Super Bowl, I would think. But no.
Okay. Bean's not happy with some of you.
You're a treasure. You truly are.
Thank you.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Michael B. Jordan is 29 years old. Adonis Creed!
It's a good movie.
He can fight.
Yes, he can.
But he's also smart. He could have been a stockbroker. You don't know. He made choices, man. Fighting's his John. Tom Hiddleston's 35 years old today. Loki, of course. Soon to be seen as Hank Williams in that biopic. Looks terrific in it. Why'd you make that face, Kevin?
Yeah, you know.
Hank Williams!
Yeah.
Come on, Hank Williams.
Yeah. Whatever.
Charlie Day's 40 years old, and actor Joe Pesci is 73 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Last week, more than 12 million people watched American Crime Story, The People versus O.J. Simpson. It is back tonight for episode number 2 at 10 o'clock on FX. We are very excited to welcome the man who plays Al Cowlings, O.J.'s best friend, in the miniseries. Malcolm Jamal Warner joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock right now. Hey, Malcolm, how are you, man?
Hey, good morning, fellas. How you guys doing?
Very good, thank you.
Pleasure to have you on. Like everyone we know, we are just suddenly re-obsessed with the O.J. trial and the whole story. It's so crazy that we all lived through that, and thank you for giving us a chance to live through it again, sir.
It's so crazy because it feels like it was a long time ago, but then it feels like it wasn't so long ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. So tonight's an episode we've all really, really been looking forward to. And I imagine that this one was a challenging one for the writers on the show because really not very much is known about what was going on inside the car during that slow speed chase, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the, that's one of the scenes where we have to take some kind of creative license because really only OJ and AC know what was going on inside that truck.
Now, AC. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
They could have been smoking blunts for all we know.
Now, Al Cowlings is still alive, right?
Yeah.
Were you able to ask him? Is he telling anybody anything?
No, I've not gotten a chance to speak to him before, during, or after the show. The last I heard was he was threatening to sue if we painted him in a bad light.
Let me tell you, I went down as a result of knowing I was going to talk to you, Malcolm. I went down a little bit of an Al Cowlings rabbit hole yesterday. This dude he's a cipher, man. This guy is mysterious. He never did an interview about his involvement with the OJ trial and the arrest. He never wrote a book. The only thing he ever did was he did a quick press conference on the steps of the courthouse where he gave out a 900 number where he would answer people's questions about anything except for OJ. So I don't know how he thought that was going to work for him. But then he's essentially just vanished. Like there's no history on this guy past the mid-1990s. It's just weird. It's like he went underground after this thing happened.
Yeah, so imagine playing him and trying to do research.
Yeah. Do you just put yourself in the mindset of, okay, if my best friend were in trouble, what would I do to help him? I mean, is that kind of all you could think?
I mean, that's basically all I could really, base, the character on, because everything that I was able to read on the internet was more so about their friendship.
Right.
So I had to really look at the, the totality of the friendship from the standpoint of, you got two guys who are best friends, they've grown up together. One guy is out there, the other guy is in his shadow.
Right.
And the many complexities to the dynamic of that kind of relationship.
Now, you're driving in the slow speed chase, and I always wanted to know, why was it slow speed? Why not speed up?
Yeah, it was funny because I remember watching the chase, and, I was thinking the same thing. I was like, okay, well, they're not driving fast enough to be trying to get away.
Right.
And maybe because it was clear that they were smart enough to know they could not get away. So, you know, I'd always looked at it as they're really trying to, you know, buy time for OJ to kind of wrap his head around, you know, what was about to go down. And I really think AC is the kind of guy where, you know, OJ says, you know, hey, AC, we need to take a ride. AC's not going to ask why or where we're going.
Yeah.
You know, he's the kind of, you know, friend that'd be like, okay, let's go.
Yeah. And it's also interesting that that Al Cowling was never charged with helping a fugitive escape. I mean, AC certainly knew that the police were coming to arrest OJ when he put him in the car and drove away, but they decided not to charge him. And I was always so surprised by that because that would seem to me to be pretty open and shut case.
Yeah, and I remember at a point they were going to charge him for aiding and abetting, and then they just dropped the whole thing, yeah.
We are talking to actor Malcolm Jamal Warner here on The Kevin Bean Show about the American crime story, People vs. O.J. Simpson, which airs again tonight at 10 on FX, and it is so good. You must be just so thrilled about this cast that they put together for this show, huh, Malcolm?
Man, everybody in the show is great. I mean, from John Travolta, Courtney Vance is excellent.
He's amazing.
Yeah, I think the biggest surprise for everybody is really going to be David Schwimmer, because just the way he embodies the Robert Kardashian role, it's almost like you see a whole nother story just through his eyes, and you feel, you know, whatever you feel or don't feel for OJ, you end up feeling a lot for Robert Kardashian in terms of what he's going through seeing his friend.
I got to tell you, after the first episode, though, and I don't know exactly how accurate it is, but I thought, what a loser. I really did. I just kept thinking, wow, he just keeps saying everybody loves you, OJ. And I don't know. I looked at him negatively.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. Kevin, that wasn't cool. Because he brought all the Kardashians into our life, was it?
Well,
that
I mean,
wasn't
that
what was going
help.
On.
That didn't necessarily help.
Yeah, you might have some residual displeasure with him because of that.
Maybe that's
exactly,
what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, it is fascinating. And you said it so well, Malcolm, when you came on, which is it seems like a million years ago, but it also seems like 5 minutes ago because so much of this stuff is so fresh in our minds. And it is a brilliant show, and I hope you're really proud to be a part of it. And we're just loving the heck out of it. We can't wait to see episode 2 tonight, and a lot of fun to have you on, man. Thanks for coming on.
Hey, thank you, man. Yeah, tonight definitely gets crazy.
Yeah, well, you're driving the car. The
car. Yeah.
So thanks for joining us this morning. We appreciate
it. Thanks, guys.
All right, bye now.
I was fine. All right, we've got the lines wide open for you right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. This is the part of the show that we turn it over to you for Kevin and Bean's What's Good. You can call us on any topic that's on your mind. If you've got a question, if you've got a comment, if you've got something going on in your life that you want to help with or you want to brag about, whatever's happening, your calls are coming up next on any topic. 1-800-520-1067. Kevin and Bean's What's Good right after this on camera. Taking your calls right now at 1-800-520-1067 on any topic. It's time for Kevin and Bean's What's Good.
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify. What are we missing and not talking about? Call up, so we could be down. 1-800-520-1067. What's good?
What's good?
Well, we start in Riverside with line one. He's calling to complain about something I said.
Dewey in Riverside, hi.
What up, party people?
Got a problem with Bean and what he said? Let's hear it.
Yeah. Were you not loved when you were little, Bean?
Well, first of all, no, he wasn't. Okay, go ahead.
The Super Bowl ratings. Now, you do understand that's 114 units that were tuned in. What about all the parties across the country that had 12, 15, 20 people that also watched the game?
Interesting.
Well, I thought about that, but I thought what Ralph said is that's how many people watched. I thought he was talking about they had already figured that up and figured out groups and whatnot, and they came up with an estimate of how many actual eyeballs were tuned in. I thought that's what we're talking about.
I think that was the units that actually tuned in to the show itself.
So if there's 114 million televisions going, that could be easily 200 million people.
Yes. So
that makes more sense to me.
All right.
Okay.
Let's get back to the important topic.
Someone didn't love you enough when you were little, did they?
Thank you for the call. I appreciate it, Dewey. I think you're probably right about that. That makes a lot of sense. Let's try Brian Sandemas, line five, please. We do have one more follow-up question about the Super Bowl that I think we may finally have an answer for. Hey, Brian.
Hey, what's good, guys?
You tell us.
I thought it was hilarious watching Eli Manning's face towards the end of the Super Bowl when he realized that Peyton's going to have two wins, too.
That was one of the weirdest things I've ever seen.
Yes, we talked about that, and a lot of people were like, hey, shouldn't he be happy that his brother is about to win another Super Bowl? And people were reading all sorts of things into it, whether he was actually jealous that now they've both got two, or if he was just confused, or just – what did you think was going on?
I don't know. I think he kind of lost that that plus-one bragging, right?
I don't feel like – I got to be honest. I understand why you're saying that, but it just doesn't seem like he would be that way. Don't they seem like they always get along? They always root for each other?
Yes. I think they're a very close family, and I think they're each happy for the other's success. But I wanted to take your call because TMZ.com may have an answer for you here, Brian, because they caught up with Eli at the airport in San Francisco as he was leaving the Bay Area after the Super Bowl, and they asked him about that. And this sort of makes sense to me. He said that he knows – I'm paraphrasing now. I don't have the story up. But he said that he knows that the game's not over till it's over and that Carolina was still in it, even though it looked like they were out – mathematically, with the time on the clock, it was possible for them to still score two touchdowns. So he was concentrating at that moment, not on the touchdown that had just been scored, but on whether or not his brother Peyton was going to go for 2 points to make it even harder for Carolina to come back. That's what was going on in his head, he thinks, was just doing the math, looking at the clock, seeing how many scores were possible, and to make sure they could put it away before he celebrated.
That makes sense.
I think he was thinking, I like popcorn. That's all it was.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate that. Let's try one more. How about Arden in Los Angeles? He is on line two. Arden, you go to St. Francis High School. Is that right?
Yes, I do. Thank you very much.
And that's the home of the what? Who's your team there? Do you have a team?
St. Francis Golden Knights.
Golden Knights. Golden Knights. All right. Go Golden Knights. What can we do for you, young man?
You know, my brother and I, we play instruments, and you guys are radio hosts, so we both listen to a lot of music. So I was wondering, what are your guys' favorite bands?
Favorite bands that maybe of that we play here on K-Rock, you mean?
Sure.
I would go Rage Against the Machine and Muse.
Yeah.
And Foo Fighters.
Oh, good choices, Kevin. Good choices.
And the Flobots. Being yours.
Oh, great band.
I love Weezer. I'm very excited about the 1975. They're one of my favorite new bands of the last couple of years. They were just on Saturday Night Live this past weekend, if you haven't had a chance to check them out. But I spend most of my time, Arden, listening to Modest Yahoo.
That's all great bands.
Okay. All right, man. We appreciate you listening. Thanks so much for checking in.
We appreciate it.
All right. Unfortunately, we got some other great calls, but we don't have time because we got to clear the lines one more time. Man, we're really giving the phones a workout here today. This time, though, we are looking for you. If you want to go to a thing on Saturday night, it is a K-Rock Grammy party, an intimate performance by Death Cab for Cutie at the Grammy Museum at LA Live. It sounds like a lot of fun. You get all the details about this at krock.com. But we are looking for you if that sounds like a fun party. Anything, any qualifying?
I don't think so.
Okay, we got a game that you can play if you want to earn your way into the Grammy party with Death Cab for Cutie. You can call right now, 1-800-520-1067. Your chance to win that coming up next on K-Rock. So you're telling me the Grammys are next Monday?
Monday night, yeah.
All right, so Saturday night would be the K-Rock Grammy party, including an intimate performance by the band Death Cab for Cutie at the Grammy Museum at LA Live. This is going to be a lot of fun, not the type of thing you can buy tickets for, but you can win them right now at 1-800-520-1067. This game is called Famous Grams.
Oh, I'm the Grammy Bear. Yes, I'm the Grammy Bear. And I've got tickets to the Grammy
pre-party.
I'm the Grammy Bear. Guess the famous Gram. Guess the famous Gram. You will go to the Grammy
pre-party
if you guess the famous Gram.
The hell is going on with Omar? See, because it's the Grammy party, so we're looking for famous Grams. All of the answers will include Gram in them. It's as simple as that. If you are right, you go into the drawing and someone will win tickets. Chip, you're going to have to keep track of who's in the drawing, if you would, for us, please, so we can do a drawing at the end, since Allie's out in jury duty today.
All right, Connie and Downey, hi there.
Hi, how are you doing?
Very good, thank you.
Good, Connie. Listen up. Again, remember, Gram is going to be somewhere in the answer. This popular app allows you to post pictures and videos to share with your friends.
Instagram.
See how easy that is? You are in the drawing. Well done.
All right, let's go to Anthony and El Segundo. Hi there.
How's it going?
Good, thank you.
Gilmore Girls fans are excited that the show is coming back to Netflix. This popular actress plays Lorelai on Gilmore Girls. Who is she?
Oh, I don't know that one.
Oh, dude, how are you not down with the Gilmore Girls? What's wrong? What kind of a man are you?
Take it easy, Bean.
That is Lauren Graham is who we were looking for, Lauren Graham. But thanks for playing.
All right, let's go to Valerie and Pico Rivera. Hi there.
Hi.
Welcome to Famous Grams.
Valerie, you sound like you're expecting to get hit. Come on, we're all having fun here. What's wrong?
Okay,
no answer there. All right. This inventor is credited with having invented the telephone back in 1876. Who is he?
Oh, my gosh. I get a hard one. Why couldn't I get the Instagram question?
Graham is in the answer.
Graham is in the answer. That helps a lot. He invented the telephone. Sounds like you are out on Alexander Graham Bell is who we were looking for, but thank you for playing.
All right, let's go to Jody in Whittier. Hi, Jody.
Good morning.
Welcome.
Hey, Jody. This medical screening device is lucky enough to have boobies squeezed into it all day. What's it called?
Mammogram.
Nicely well done. All right, you're in the drawing.
Sorry, it makes me want to throw up when you say boobies. James in Westminster. Hi.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
We are good.
Doing great, James. Listen up. Famous Grams. This is an actress who starred as Roller Girl in the movie Boogie Nights. Not Booger Nights.
It was Boogie Nights. I would like to see that movie, but that was Heather Graham, also Swingers.
Yes, and she played the stripper with a heart of gold of a hangover as well. Well, you're good. Heather Graham is correct. Congratulations.
James is adding answers that we weren't even asking for.
He's incredible.
Hunt in Manhattan Beach. Hi there.
Hi,
Hunt. Famous Grams is what we're looking for. This young singer from Denmark currently has a song on K-Rock that goes a little something like this.
Once I was 7 years old, my mama told me, go make yourself some friends or you'll be lonely.
What is his name?
I don't know. Jason Graham?
No, I'm sorry. That is Lucas Graham we were looking for. Lucas Graham.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Do we have time for another?
Sure. We have time for one more. Let's go to Adam in Simi Valley. Hi, Adam.
I also want to see Booger Nights.
Booger Nights sounds good, right? I can't believe Adam Sandler hasn't already made Booger Nights. All right. Final question. These messages are often delivered by hand and sometimes with balloons. Singing or strippers?
Strippergram?
I mean, really?
Again, these messages are often delivered by hand, sometimes with balloons, sometimes with singers, sometimes with strippers. Give you one more shot at it.
Telegram?
Yes, telegram. Nice. Outstanding. All
nicely
right.
Done.
You are in the drawing. All right, I've had my face away from the call screener. Who's in the drawing here, Kevin?
We have Connie, we have Jody, we have James, and we have Adam.
And only one will win. Chip, who's our winner for the Grammy party with Death Cab for Cutie at Grammy Museum at LA Live this Saturday night?
Your winner is Jody.
Yay!
Jody! Congratulations, Jody.
Thank you. I'm so excited.
You won the tickets. It's a tiny little place. You're going to love it. Enjoy the show, and thanks for playing the game.
Guess the Famous Gram. Guess the Famous Gram.
So 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:53.
So you're telling me Showbiz Beat now and then the Bachelor Report.
You're goddamn right.
That's correct.
Can't wait. Is it raining, Ben?
It's raining, Ben. Hallelujah. It's raining, Ben. Amen.
Well, that is coming up as we do every Tuesday morning just after 8. First, though, what else is going on in Hollywood?
It's raining, Ben.
I have it.
Good
I have
timing,
it now.
Kevin. You're ready. You're the man. You're Johnny on the spot.
Hall of Fame.
Fundamentals.
How about a heads up on It's Raining Ben?
How could you know? The Bachelor Report is only coming up next. Why would that even be in the shoot? Why would that be in the chamber? Why would that be ready to play?
Yeah, I accept your support.
And then Ralph sang it for like 30 seconds, buying you time.
I know.
All right. Enough of this shenanigans. Enough hilarity. Sadness in the news.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
For many WWE fans, news broke yesterday in a tweet. Confirming what some had heard rumors of. Daniel Bryan, ex-WWE champ, retires at the age of 34 due to concussions.
Ooh.
Yeah. He's officially retiring. Trust me, wrote Daniel, I don't want to be doing this any more than you guys don't want me to be doing this. It is with a heavy heart and the utmost sadness that I announce my retirement. Today, when I woke up this morning, I felt nothing but gratitude because I have gotten to do the things I've loved for 16 years. Brian said he started wrestling at 18 and had 3 concussions in his first 5 months.
Wow.
He's had many concussions off and on throughout his 16-year career. And he has taken some tests, and apparently his brain is not doing as well as doctors would like.
Ouch.
So in order to protect his brain from getting any further damage, he's going to have to leave the sport he loves.
Kevin, how many concussions do you reckon you've had?
I don't know, but honestly, I've had at least 4 or 5. I went back to think about it.
Wow.
Because when you're playing high school football...
Those are the ones you remember.
Yeah, exactly.
Because the concussion keeps you from remembering a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You ever had a scan of any kind, a checkup, some sort of investigative method?
Not now.
Nope. Explains a great deal.
Just trying to derail this conversation.
Explains a great deal. So that's sad news, but we wish him the best and hope that he's able to find a second chapter in his life that he enjoyed as much as the first. Speaking of tributes, this is very cool. You know, Motorhead frontman Lemmy spent a great deal of his life. When he wasn't on stage, you could probably find him at the corner of the bar at the Rainbow.
Yep.
On Sunset.
That was his home away from home.
It was indeed. I don't even think it was his home away from home.
I think it was his home.
I think it was his home.
Live there. Get his mail there.
His apartment was his home away from home, but the Rainbow pretty much was his home. He is going to be honored in the form of a bronze statue in front of that restaurant. How cool is that?
That's nice.
Yeah.
I like that.
To have a statue of Lemmy commemorating his presence there at that place and, of course, his legendary work with Motorhead. Billboard.com reports that a local artist named Travis Moore is going to design and build the 6-foot bronze monument that'll be on view outside the Rainbow. It's going to cost roughly $20,000. So far, $16,000 of that have been raised for the project.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. So they're almost there. If you'd like to donate, if you're a Lemmy fan and you'd like to see this bronze statue completed, you can go over to You Caring, Y-O-U. Caring, C-A-R-I-N-G.com, and you can donate there by searching Lemmy. So it's kind of
rough. Cool. Were you, I'm sure you were with us. We did a breakfast with Foo Fighters in Hollywood one time, and Lemmy was there, and he was just larger than life. That guy, and 8 o'clock in the morning, that guy was raging.
Jack and Cokes,
yeah, it was something else, man. I mean, he was a force of nature.
It was also fascinating to watch Dave Grohl's response because he worships Lemmy.
Grohl loved Lemmy.
Oh, my God.
And they worked together. They were pals. Grohl tells a great story about going to Lemmy's apartment for the first time and just looking, as you can imagine, Lemmy's apartment would look.
Yeah.
And he said, "You want a drink?" And it was about 8:30 in the morning. And Grohl says, "Well, sure, I'm not going to say no. I'm in front of Lemmy. What am I going to say? No, I'm not going to drink with him." I said, "Yeah, sure, I'll take one." And he said he took a glass that had obviously been used by someone
within the last couple of weeks
recently, and he gave it a quick rinse, put some ice in there, filled it up almost to the top with Jack Daniels, splash Coke, and then Grohl says he just took his big dirty finger and just stuck it in there and swirled it around like a swizzle stick and handed it to me.
And what's his choice?
What
he doesn't
do?
Have a choice. You drink it.
What are you gonna do?
You
right?
Drink it.
You drink it.
Yep.
Goddamn right you do.
Good morning.
Jack and Coke, now officially known as the Lemmy, I believe, at the Rainbow.
Nice.
I'm not kidding. I think there's a drink named after him, and rightly so. I can only hope for such a tribute by the end of my career.
You got to start drinking more, Ralph. You are not well known enough for being fall down drunk.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, you are some, but to get a drink named after you,
you got to
step it up.
You got to step up.
I had a drink named after me at the comedy club that dare not speak its name any longer.
Really?
At Universal. Yeah. Yeah. The Garmin was Jack and Club Soda.
All right.
But that place has since closed.
Because I'm a horrible businessman. Thank you. And I'm a liar, too.
So no hard feelings, though,
no,
right?
No, not at all. Wish him all the best. You've just been terminated. Can't wait to hear that on the new Celebrity Apprentice. Hey, new release day for DVDs.
Yeah.
Not music.
You'd love getting me excited.
Spectre. Daniel Craig, Ralph Fiennes star in the latest James Bond thriller. It's available on DVD today if you want to check it out. Love the Coopers, Alan Arkin, John Goodman, and Diane Keaton. It's a about a family and they're so dysfunctional? How do they get along? Let's find out. Grandma with Lily Tomlin. Did you ever see Grandma with Lily Tomlin?
No.
Ah, so funny. Check it out if you haven't seen it.
No.
Yes. 99 Homes and the Bitch Ain't One. With Andrew Garfield, Michael Shannon, about the bubble, the housing bubble that crashes, people have to be booted out of their homes.
I heard that was terrific.
Yeah. MI5 with Kit Harington, Convergence with Ethan Embry, Freaks of Nature, Ed Westwick, Joan Cusack, and Patton Oswalt star in that. And Crimson Peak, starring Jessica Chastain and Tom Hiddleston. And the reason I bring him up, because he leads our celebrity birthdays. Tom Hiddleston celebrates his 35th birthday today. Michael B. Jordan of Creed fame and Fruitvale Station, of course, 29 years old. We won't mention the Fantastic Four. Charlie Day is 40. And Joe Pesci celebrates his 73rd birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We save you so much time on this program. Why spend 2 hours on ABC Monday nights when you can spend 10 minutes with the Kevin and Bean Show and know just as much?
No, it's wrong.
Really wrong?
You should be watching everything. It's like, why? Do you go to a steakhouse and enjoy a beautiful meal, or you just want to throw everything in a blender and just drink it with a straw? No, you want the full experience because it's raining, Ben!
It's time for the Bachelor Report. Hit it, Steve.
It's time. We got the Big P and Gar, man. And they watch The Bachelor, so you don't have to, man. Girls drinking, hallelujah.
Woo!
Girls crying, hallelujah.
Woo!
Girls crazy, hallelujah.
Woo!
The Bachelor Report, we're going to give it to you.
Woo!
The Bachelor Report, we're going to give it to you.
Woo!
The Bachelor Report, we're going to give it to you.
Woo!
The Bachelor Report is in the spot, so you don't have to watch.
I particularly enjoyed that at the Super Bowl when he did that song. That was really great.
A lot of people said it made me think of the Bachelor Report when Bruno Mars was out there.
Petros Papadakis is the co-host of the Petros and Money radio show on AM 570 LA Sports. He joins us as he does every Tuesday at this time. Hey, Pete.
What's popping with you guys?
It's Rain and Ben, buddy.
Are you ready?
It's Rain and Ben. Hallelujah. It's Rain and Ben. Amen.
Hey, Ben seems to be a little overmatched.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
You got some doubts about Ben.
I know that he's boys with Ralph, and it's going to be hard to get the old straight story here, but Ben is, he's a little out of it. He's just not ready to deal with the fact that all these women are getting snippy and snarky. He's got to rise above it, and he's right down there all frustrated with the chicks. You know what I'm saying, Ralph?
Because he is an inordinately decent, nice guy.
What's he doing on this show?
He actually gets upset when the girls are upset. You're right, he does not rise above it. He hurts too much when
but
they
you
hurt.
I even in my own life, I have to stop somewhere, and my wife has to begin. You know, there can only be so much suffering.
I hear you. I hear you, P, but I feel bad for him because he really is sort of a sensitive dude, and it's difficult for him. When these girls come in there with their angst and their problems in the house and everything, he says, well, how can I fix it? And he starts investigating and asking girls, are you okay? Are you
Sucker.
Okay? He is. He's a little too soft. But in the beginning
he's
of this...
soft like a bitch.
Oh, stop it! In the beginning of this episode was the second half of the cliffhanger where he pulls Olivia out of the room before the rose ceremony.
Oh.
Anti-climax.
To try to get to the bottom of what was going on with her and her angst with the other girls in the house.
Because the other girls told on her, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And the girls thought, oh, this is great. He's going to give her the boot. He's going to pull her out and he's going to send her home. Now, she already had a rose, so I thought that was unlikely that he would take the rose back.
Has that ever happened? I don't think anybody's gotten their rose snatched from them.
Never in the history of The Bachelor has that happened to me. And it didn't happen last night either.
It might as well be a Cartier love bracelet, that rose.
He talked to her. I guess he got whatever answers he felt he needed to get before the rose ceremony and sent her back into the room. And the girls were all disappointed because they thought Olivia was going to be sent home, but she was not.
Right.
Olivia took no short time to gloat about that fact.
I think when Ben grabbed me, they were probably like, score, she's going home. And it didn't work. I walked right back in. So, come at me, bro.
Boom!
Did she say come at me, bro?
She did.
Wow.
And they did.
I mean, that's almost like asking for somebody to punch you, you know?
Pretty much.
One of the other girls. Like, if a man said that to me, you know, come at me, bro,
It's on.
I think my fist, like, by the time he said at, I think my fist would be halfway there.
Yeah. That's like the double chest push in a bar or something when somebody hits you the chest with those hands.
What are you calling a bitch, bitch?
Then there was the big group date.
Oh.
Come on, P, how much fun was that? They got to feed the pigs.
First of all, this is a wonderful... There's a match. They go to the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there's no more African-American women in the stable, and there are not.
Because they're traveling out of the country?
Yeah, they've made it, well, past Mexico, you know, outside. Canada and Mexico, I think we've gotten some African-Americans. God bless them.
Right.
But they are in the Bahamas, where they go to that place where people always want to go. You see pictures of it and stuff. The place with the swimming pigs. But we're way past fun on the group dates because the feelings are too real, Ralph. They're too real. Everybody was too angry.
Are you trying to tell me the swimming pigs is actually a thing people know about? Because I was surprised last night by the swimming pigs.
There is a place in the Bahamas. It's like a one island that has these pigs that swim. Those are wild swimming pigs.
Who knew? I didn't know that was a thing.
It's a thing.
So they take a bunch of hot dogs and they feed the pigs in the surf.
Turkey dogs.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, turkey
dogs. They're not going to make the pigs into cannibals. Oh, I'm sure you could.
Thank you for that.
Wouldn't that be awesome if you fed pork to
pigs? No,
it
wouldn't be awesome at all.
That'd be freaking hilarious. I would never stop laughing at that.
You heard of this place, haven't you?
Yeah, yeah. The famous swimming pigs are popular, yeah.
So, you're right, P. They were trying to, you know, have a lark there in the surf, but they couldn't because they were all too frustrated and upset primarily because Ben was spending a lot of time with Lauren B., who does seem to be his favorite at this point.
She's got a dime hole for a mouth.
She does have a small mouth. I noticed that, too, which brings up a whole list of questions that I won't get into at this point.
And advantages.
But,
go ahead. Just keep going like it didn't happen.
Leah is particularly upset with the attention that Lauren B. is getting. So she hatches a plan because she's afeard that she's going to be sent home.
Mm.
If she can get Ben to turn on Lauren B., then maybe opportunities will present for her. So she spends her time with Ben basically throwing Lauren B. under the bus.
There are definitely women in the house that I feel aren't being so real with you, and it, like, hurts me. I don't want to
lose,
you know, tell you who you should be with, but some people are just different in the house and they are, I think, towards you. And I don't like drama and I don't want to, like, say names, but I think it's the one person that you have the strongest connection with. Lauren B.
Oh, she didn't want to say names and she did.
That sounds like some real talk right there, Ralph.
And Lauren B's not even that bad. What did Lauren B do?
Nothing.
She just getting taken down because she's the top dime hole?
Exactly. Exactly, P, because she is the lead dog. Leah says, I have to cut her throat for
and
no
Leah
reason.
Leah woke up evil one day. What happened? She was normal.
She's desperate. She's a desperate woman, Leah. So Lauren B finds out from Ben. He's like, hey, some people are saying bad things about you. What's up
Ben
with you?
Ben is the worst gossip on the show.
And she's like, what? I don't know. I'm like, I'm so nice. And she starts crying and she goes back into the room with the girls. And then Leah saunters back into the room. Says, oh, Lauren B, what's the matter?
Oh.
What happened? But like tonight it was brought up to Ben that I'm like perhaps not the same in front of him as I am in the house.
Like your name was brought up?
Mm-hmm.
Specifically. Oh, well, I didn't say anything.
So, Leah, you didn't say anything to him about her?
Nope.
Liar!
Didn't we just hear the tape of her saying Lauren B.'s name?
Indeed we did, Bean. Indeed
She's
we did.
She's a liar.
Yeah, she got caught. I guess she didn't feel like there were cameras.
I think she forgot there were cameras. You're right.
Maybe she forgot the sound guy threading the mic between her boobs.
I don't know how she thought she was ever going to get away with a bald-faced lie, but she did, and then...
It's still in Ben's mind, Ralph. It's still in Ben's mind.
She planted a seed.
Genuine or not.
She planted a seed, that's for sure. But she does get sent home. Leah gets the boot.
Oh.
Yeah, he gets rid of it. Because she tries to do one of those midnight sneaks where she shows up in Ben's room when everyone else is asleep and the date is over.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, no, this ain't going to work. You
well,
got to go.
Stick your tongue down his throat if you're going to show up at his place.
Right.
Don't just keep talking about Lauren B.
You're absolutely right. And then, of course, the finale was the two-on-one date, the dreaded two-on-one date, where one rose is on the date. Two women enter, one woman leaves. It's like Thunderdome.
It's gladiator time.
It is. And it was Emily versus Olivia, who hate each other desperately.
Yes.
And
it's like that knife fight in the Beat It video.
Right. Good reference.
Very ugly.
And Olivia now knows that she's unbeatable. She's bulletproof. Nothing. She's Donald Trump. She could shoot one of the other contestants in the face on Fifth Avenue and still have Ben's love.
She has the false confidence of Kevin Federline.
She couldn't be more comfortable with herself.
I feel like now he knows who I am. Now we can just move forward. He knows my heart. Let's start life together.
Enough of the shenanigans. Let's just start our life together.
Start life together, because that's what it's about.
Fold up the production. Tell Video Village to take a hike.
It's all over. And Ben does lift that rose on the two-on-one date and says, Olivia, please come with me, and walks her down the beach, rose in hand.
Pretty cruel.
She's expecting that rose will soon be passed over from his hand to hers.
Right.
When this happens.
I think that as honest as you've been with me about your feelings, I have to be honest with you about mine and tell you that today I can't give you this rose. I'm going to have to say goodbye.
Boom! He's got the rose in his hand.
He was...
And says to her...
He was taunting her with
and
it.
And says to her, I can't get... See the rose? Can't give it to you. Nope. Look at this.
Here, you got it. Nope.
You want this?
Not giving it to you.
Can't get it.
He could have died right there.
And he sent her on her way. And the best part...
They show the sea aircraft waiting to whisk him and the girl, the other girl, the twin, away while Olivia just sat alone. In the widest shot they could possibly find.
She's, to make her look as lonely
as
possible.
She's stranded on a deserted island by herself as the boat pulls away from... I'm like, does she die now?
Is she still there?
She cast out just to starve to death on the island? This is the cruelest episode ever.
That really is.
They right when she starts to forage for food... is when they cut away to commercial.
Yeah. But I think she slaughtered and killed one of the swimming pigs, and she was eating that.
Oh, that's sad.
She was tearing into its entrails like American Werewolf in London. She was just digging into it, just swallowing
but,
Rob,
it. Is it Olivia the one that you were terrified of with the huge mouth?
Yes.
Yeah, she's the one that got the boot.
Yes.
So you're happy.
She was foolish
There's plenty of plankton out there for her to suck in.
She was foolish enough to say, I love you, Ben, and he just didn't reciprocate. So he had to do the right thing and wave that rose in front of her face as he said, go home.
So how many girls are left?
A bunch.
Oh, there's still like 10 or 12 or something?
There's five.
Five, six? Okay.
Five.
Two other chicks got cut last night that we didn't even talk about because they're so boring.
Yeah, Jennifer got the boot. And
Lauren H.
Yeah, Lauren H. Yeah, the kindergarten teacher.
So guess who Lauren B. becomes next week?
Just Lauren.
There you go.
Just Lauren. Yeah. All right, so help me understand here as we wrap up the Bachelor Report. So there's a regular episode next Monday, but there's also a special Valentine's Day Bachelor this Sunday.
I'm not watching that.
And that doesn't have anything to do with this current season. That's a retrospect of the whole series. Right?
Look
celebration.
How awesome we are. Look how small my hands have been for 20 years.
Okay. Celebration of 20 seasons and then a big wedding. They're going to have a big wedding.
Oh, great.
From a couple that met on Bachelor in Paradise.
Sure.
You know.
All right.
Oh, is that Jade, the Wild Mustang, and... that really nerdy-looking guy?
Yes, both of them. They're getting married in a very special.
Oh, all right, so we can skip that on Sunday, but we got a new Bachelor next Monday, and we'll see you back here next Tuesday, P, for the Bachelor Report. Thank you, sir.
The Bachelor Report is in the spot, so you don't have to watch.
Got another chance for you to join us at the intimate performance by Death Cab for Cutie at the Grammy Museum at LA Live this Saturday night. Coming up in just a few minutes here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Also, we'll catch up with Haley Atwell. She is Agent Carter. That's on the way. It has been years since we have done this phone topic, Kevin, but I am fascinated with the people who play bit parts in movies, television shows, and commercials.
I always think of the constipation commercials. I always think, like, that's probably somebody's first acting role.
Right.
So they call their parents and they say, good news, bad news.
Uh-huh.
Good news is I got a gig, bad news, I'm talking about constipation, and everybody's going to want to turn away.
It would be weird if you were somebody in a commercial who was known for... having irritable bowel syndrome.
Right, and there are people that are holding their stomach and stuff. It just seems terrible.
Be weird. But let's face it, for every star of a show or a movie, there are dozens of people who have one line or no lines or are sitting next to them on the bus or handing them an envelope. I mean, there's so many of those kinds of roles. And we thought it might be fun to talk to those people, especially, you know, a lot of people trying to make it in acting. A lot of people have made it in acting, and it was early days for them trying to get any role to get their
SAG card or whatever. But we want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. We're looking for the people who have had tiny roles in television and movies, and we want to find out about your experience. And there's a reason we bring it up. There's a reason we thought about it, because it came up on our air from one of our listeners just last week.
You were in The People versus O.J. Simpson on FX.
I was. I was the cameraman that scaled the wall and got footage of O.J. getting arrested.
Didn't you have a line, too, Daniel?
I did. I said O.J.'s a suspect.
I got it. Hold on.
O.J.'s a suspect.
Come on!
Daniel! Standing home!
That was it. That was all he had, and he's not on anymore.
Right. Now, and he did try to convince Ryan Murphy from the guy behind The People vs. O.J. Simpson to try to do a spinoff series about the cameraman. But it doesn't look like that's going to happen. But
OJ's
who knows?
Suspect.
One day he grows up to be a double Academy Award winner like Tom Hanks or somebody, but he'll be able to look back on that time he had one line in a TV movie about O.J. Simpson. And I just think that's fascinating.
So we're looking for the most insignificant role.
Yes.
You could have in showbiz. You don't even have to be an actor or actress. You just had to have that tiny introduction to the business.
Right.
The most insignificant role.
You were in a movie and you told all your friends, oh my God, you're not going to believe this. I'm in this movie. And then they go to the theater and they don't even see you. You have to wait till it comes out on DVD so that you can freeze frame it and point to yourself on the screen. That's what we're looking for. What were you in that was so tiny? We can't wait to hear your stories. 1-800-520-1067. This is going to be a true cavalcade of stars coming up next on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Talking about tiny parts in movies and TV shows at 1-800-520-1067. We had a listener named Daniel on the phone with us last week who had one line in The People versus O.J. Simpson. This was it.
O.J.'s a suspect.
Boom. And we thought, boom, we got to do that again. Tiana writes in, Kevin, you're going to be so jealous of Tiana. My high school teacher somehow got my whole class as the audience in Dodgeball, the movie. That was us in the bleachers while they were playing Dodgeball.
That's awesome.
How fun must that have been?
That's awesome.
All right, we're taking your calls. Let's start with Walt, line 3, please. He's in Downey. This is, I think, exactly what we're looking for. Hey, Walt.
Hey, how you guys doing? Kevin, Bean, and Ralph.
We are good.
So you're an acting superstar. Tell me about your big role.
Oh, yeah. I'm a huge acting superstar. So I'm a physical therapist. I work in a big hospital here in Downey.
Mm-hmm.
And they filmed the movie, the incredible movie, Regarding Henry, with your favorite actor, Harrison Ford.
Okay.
All right. So during the exercise routine in the back, the very first time he walked, they wanted real-life physical therapists in the background to make it look real. So that was me exercising a different patient right next to Bill Nunn and Harrison Ford for the first time he was walking.
Wait, so
Problem
you...
was. Go ahead.
So you weren't even working on Harrison Ford?
Well, no, not for the movie part.
Good.
Not for the actual part. But afterwards, they realized that the scene didn't go so well, so they wanted a real physical therapist to say, hey, how would you do this? So Mike Nichols pulled me aside and said, why don't you just treat Harrison for us for a little bit, and we're going to watch you. So he's a pretty good actor. He acted like he was brain injured, like he should, and I showed him how you would facilitate his arm movement and get him to stand up and take a few steps. And what I didn't realize is the script person was right behind me writing down every word I said, like, and then they were like, oh, he's so good, he's so real. And so Bill Nunn, you know, quickly reread the lines and did exactly what I did, and we had a wonderful time, and Harrison was pretty funny. He said, hey, that was good, but you know, Walt had his hand here, and he put
yeah.
Bill Nunn's hand
so
on
you touched Harrison Ford's butt.
I touched Harrison Ford's butt, and the ladies here in the hospital were so jealous.
That is fantastic. That's awesome. Well, thank you, Walt. We appreciate the call. All right. We got some great calls here. Look at our listeners, man. They are failures in Hollywood. Let's go to James. He's on line 5. He's up next.
Hey, James.
Hey, guys.
Looking for the most insignificant role in showbiz.
Well, I was on an episode of NCIS, and they were looking for me, NCIS LA, and they were looking for me for half the show. And when I actually get on screen, I walk in the Dubai airport and get shoulder checked by LL Cool J, and he arrests me, and that's it. I was supposed to have lines and everything, and it just cut.
So you got arrested by LL Cool J?
Yeah.
All right.
They said, he bumps into me, and he's like, John Harris? And I'm like, I just look at him, and he's like, you're coming with me. He just takes me away. You know, and I told everybody that I was going to be on this and have, you know, lines and everything and nothing.
And they cut out the lines. That sucks.
Did you get, so you were up close and personal. Did you see LL's lizard tongue? Were you able to see, was he doing that to you when you were?
No,
stop making that noise.
He was pretty calm, Roman.
Yeah. All right. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Will La Mirada up next, line six, please. Then we got to talk to the King of Mexico, who I forgot has quite the resume.
Please. Will, hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thanks. Most insignificant role.
I'm a megastar, by the way. So I did a scene with Amy Poehler giving her a shot of tequila in Parks and Recreation, season 2, episode 1.
Oh, that's fantastic. So are you're playing a bartender?
Actually, no, I was a gay patient.
You were a patient.
A gay patient.
Who was serving alcohol.
Why were you giving her a shot?
Oh, a shot. You mean a shot like with a needle?
Yeah.
Oh, no, we were thinking drinking.
Oh, yeah. When you say shot on this show, we only think alcohol. Okay. All right. Well, that was fun.
It was, actually. It was. I stepped on her line, so she got a little frustrated with me, but, you know, we made it happen, and it's like 2 seconds.
I love that you have one line and you screwed it up the first time. That's fantastic. Thank you, Will. Appreciate the call. All right, Dave, you're in here bragging. I forgot that you've got quite the IMDb. What have you been in?
Well, there's this little show called Dawson's Creek, and, you know, I appear in 2 scenes.
You were Pacey, right?
No,
I was not
Pacey.
Him, no.
Oh, you weren't Pacey.
I almost got Dawson, but my forehead wasn't big enough.
Right.
But I was UPS or delivery man. And I delivered something to the boathouse. That was awesome. And you see my beautiful face on the screen. Yeah.
Right? You know, when you say delivery on this show. All right, so that's Dawson's Creek.
Yeah, and then later in that same episode, I was part of couple number one walking by.
Wow.
You were couple number one.
Yeah.
What was the movie you lied about being in?
But don't forget my big screen debut on the – I was – extra, I was dancer number 432 on Step Up 3D.
Yeah, he said Boom. That. I looked for it, couldn't find him. He tried to isolate it, still couldn't see
it. Dude, I'm fist pumping my ass off.
Yeah, all right.
Hey, I know we're low on time. Please, can we talk to Mike in East LA? It sounds like he had a small role on a TV show and he's naked during it.
Mike?
Hey, what's going on, Kevin Bean?
We are good.
So when I first started my career out here as an actor, I did a lot of background work and they called me up and said, hey, we need this kidnapping rapist.
Oh.
The intro of The Shield. So I go up on set. They put me in a robe and put a sock on my junk. And I meet the actress. I go, hey, my name is Mike G. I'll be raping you today. She was real friendly. And all I had to do was just play dead, naked, on top of her.
Right.
And there's a table full of drugs. And they walk in and they peel me off her body. And they realize, oh, my God, she's still alive. And it cuts opening credits. That was one of my first like big time where I had to call everybody, look, and
that's me nude.
So how does that go when you're telling your parents that the good news is I'm on TV, but the bad news is I'm a naked rapist?
Well, they changed my Pampers, and you know what? At the end of the day, they paid me $1,500, so that's probably the most I'm ever going to get to see my ass. So,
right?
You know, I'll go with it. The funny part is, the best part of all is, but a few years later, I had a buddy of mine call me up and said, hey, remember that actress you did the part with? And I go, yeah. He goes, I was trying to look her up on MrSkin.com, and I noticed you're on MrSkin.com. And they actually have a comment about
it. Oh, no.
So we can see your ass whenever we want, Mike. That's great news.
Hey, yeah. Or you can just hit me up at BigMikeG.com.
Nope.
All right. See, Dave, you need a website, man. Get with it.
Thank you, Mike. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:53.
Ralph, we should have asked you to come in for that phone topic of people with small roles in movies. Did you have any in your early years where you were a guy who just had, like, one line?
Nope.
Really?
Always the big star.
Always the starring huge, role that then they cut out before the thing's released.
Huge roles in all my projects. No, of course I start out with small roles. Let me think. Oh, boy. My very first one was a co-star, so that wasn't the small. It was cool. I got to do a ton of stuff. That was in that ABC After School special where I got my SAG card. But when I first moved to Los Angeles, I did a ton of small, little, tiny things. Highway to Heaven, the final episode of Highway to Heaven.
You were on that?
Yeah, with Michael Landon.
Wow.
I had one line as a naval corpsman who was working at a Navy hospital, and I had it was one of those exposition roles where I'm wheeling in the patient on a gurney. I had to rattle off the injuries to
tell everybody
to
what's
doctor.
Wrong with
them. Yeah, stat. You know, one of those things.
Mm-hmm.
That was a one-off. Tiny little role in Doogie Howser, of course. A little role in that.
Look at you, man.
Yeah, a bunch of
some name brand stuff.
A bunch of under fives, as they call them in the guild.
What does that mean, under five?
It's a pay grade.
Oh, I see.
If you get more than five lines, you would get a certain amount of money. If you had less than five lines or an under five, you would get a certain amount of money. So, I mean, everybody starts off doing that kind of stuff. I'm surprised that while we're talking about small roles, we neglected a small but memorable role that our own Kevin Ryder had in the classic film Dark Reel, the film noir movie set in the 40s, where Kevin played Mr. Humphrey.
When you think 1940s, you think me,
I think,
right?
Kevin is all about the old stuff. He loves vintage. He loves the older stuff. And it was the captivating role. Mr. Humphrey, a deeply closeted gay married man at a bar who comes on to our hero. Here's a little scene.
Excuse me.
Excuse me.
That's my whole line.
See you in the men's room.
Excuse me.
I'll tap my foot under the stall.
You've created quite an elaborate backstory for Mr. Humphrey, haven't you?
Well, you can tell in Kevin's performance. It's the 40s.
Excuse me.
The 40s, you know, homosexuality is not open and accepted in society, so he has to be sort of sly with his seduction. And so he bumps into our hero, you know, suggestively, and then says,
"Excuse me." Kevin did look good in that big suit, too.
Excuse me.
All right. How about the beautiful Haley Atwell?
How
about her on Agent Carter? How great is she? How great is it?
Great and great.
All right. That's coming up next. First, though, time for the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday. What's going on?
Sad news for wrestling fans. Ex-WWE champ Daniel Bryan confirmed that he is retiring from professional wrestling. News broke in a tweet on Monday, and then Daniel himself confirmed it in Seattle on Monday night. Here's a little piece of the ex-champ talking about leaving the sport.
Within the first 5 months of my wrestling career, I'd already had 3 concussions. And for years after that, I would get a concussion here and there, or here or there. And then it gets to the point when you've been wrestling for 16 years that... That adds up to a lot of concussions. And it gets to a point where they tell you that you can't wrestle anymore. It is with a heavy heart and the utmost sadness that I officially announce my retirement.
Are those boos of support? They're just upset?
Yeah, they're boos that are upset that he is leaving the sport.
Okay.
Yeah. I think if they had cheered when he said he's retiring, that wouldn't be as positive because they'd be like, yeah, get out of the sport, we hate you.
I see.
But
okay.
They were booing. An unlikely superstar in the sport. Brian thanked the crowd for getting behind someone who was just 5'8" and 190 pounds. Not your traditional build for a wrestler, but he certainly was a crowd favorite, and he will be missed by the folks who enjoy fictional sports.
I don't mean this in a bad way, but he sounds like he should have retired a long time ago.
How could that be taken in a bad way?
Well, no, I'm saying he sounds like
positive.
He sounds like a guy who's had like 30 concussions, doesn't he? Like, the damage has been done.
I imagine most of the professional wrestlers have had multiple concussions. I can't imagine you can go through that sport without getting
them. Yeah, their bodies take just a horrible beating. Speaking of sports, I thought it was interesting. Satchel Paige became the first Negro League baseball player to be voted into the Baseball's Hall of Fame on this date in 1971. How far we've come.
Yeah. Sure enough.
That's pretty cool. And while we're looking at celebrity... anniversaries, this date will be always known to music fans as the day that the Beatles performed for the first time on the Ed Sullivan Show in 1964.
Who gives a damn?
Well, Kevin, a lot of people do, because the Beatles were the beginning, some would say, of the modern era of popular music.
I just don't care at all.
An estimated 74 million people tuned in to watch the Beatles perform that night.
I'm sorry, how many?
You heard me.
Did you say 74 million?
74 million people.
Don't be so boring.
Tuned in to watch the Fab Four do just 5 songs on the Sullivan Show. The Beatles, by the way, picked up $2,400 for the gig. That was their pay to be on that show.
I feel like a lot of money in 1964.
Split that 4 ways after taxes?
Yeah, maybe not.
It's like $10
hardly worth the trip. $10. It doesn't even buy a drumstick if you're Ringo. But the reason I bring it up is because it was one of the most important moments in American history. Before the Beatles showed up, we had no hair. We started finally growing hair after the Beatles were on television.
Everybody was bald before?
Everybody was bald.
I don't remember that part.
We didn't dress well. We used to wear burlap before they showed up.
Okay.
And it was a remedy for the nation because John F. Kennedy had put us in that sad situation with his whole head being blown off and stuff. So that meant
when the Beatles arrived in America, mm-hmm. it really changed our lives. I mean, look. We grew hair when the Beatles were on television.
Oh, you're right.
We started bands.
Yeah, bands for the first
started
time.
Started dressing cooler.
Oh, we weren't even cool before then.
Nope.
But before all that happened, it was news about the Beatles. Mm-hmm. It was John F. Kennedy was really put everybody in a sad position.
Put us in a sad position.
And then the Beatles Bastard. Arrived and sort of changed everybody's lives, basically.
They changed everybody's lives.
Yeah. No one had ever played a musical instrument before. But then we started having bands after the Beatles showed up. So that's great. We would have no music. See, Kevin, it's an important historical
moment.
It is moment.
Then. I didn't realize it was that much of a turning point.
Let me just put it this way. The Beatles invented us.
Hey, the Beatles invented us. Let's put it that way.
How did the...
That's history.
Okay.
Irrefutable. That's a fixed point in time.
The guy said it, man.
As Doctor Who would say.
The
guy said it.
That was a band from some time ago called The Beatles.
Right.
And it had Paul McCartney
and
Ringo Starr in it.
Yeah. We know.
Who are still performing around.
They're around.
And of course, John is no longer with us. And neither is George.
I feel like we all know
The Beatles.
That.
Just in case you missed out on the name. The Beatles. Let me reprise.
Ringo, I love you.
Ringo, right. I love you too. Ringo. Saw exciting news the other day. The Monkees are recording a new album.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, wow.
I know there's one person who's
that's
very happy
gonna explode.
About that. Very, very happy. And by Monkees, I mean two guys.
Who's left, right? One is dead. The other declines to appear.
Right. But they're all together again.
Right.
Two of them. And they're making brand new music.
That we don't need.
Pre-recorded. From the 60s. Today's celebrity birthday is Michael B. Jordan is 29 years old today. Tom Hiddleston. Loki.
He's great in that.
He was great in that film.
Hey, how about the Beatles?
Already talked about them.
We've significantly covered that topic, Rodney. He's 35 years old. Charlie Day. You know him on It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. 40 years old today. Joe Pesci. How great is Joe Pesci?
Everything. By the way, you asked a reasonable question earlier, which is, where the hell is Joe Pesci? What's he doing now?
I saw him in a Snickers commercial a while ago. Remember that?
Okay. All right.
What, does he get some kind of model? He was upset. He wasn't himself because he was hungry, that guy.
He doesn't act anymore, though, huh?
Goodfellas? Come on. How great is he?
He's great.
Casino?
Agreed.
Raging Bull?
Agreed. Oh, yeah. All right, let's see.
And he was dating a model for a while. I don't know if they're still together or not, but the real smoking hot redheaded model. What was her name? Angie Everhart.
Oh, Joe Pesci was dating Angie Everhart.
They were together last I heard.
Huh.
So he's
doing it for himself. He has not worked much in the last 20 years, you guys. He was in a film called Love Ranch in 2010. Before that, The Good Shepherd was 26. And before that was Lethal Weapon 4 back in 1998. So really just three movies in about the last almost 20 years.
I've heard he's semi-retired. I think he's a restaurateur. I think he's got a couple of restaurants. But he spent all his time with Angie Everhart. Can't blame him.
It's not a bad way to go.
You don't call her Everhart for a reason. You know what I mean?
I think it's Everhart.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was Everhart.
Paul McCartney from the Beatles.
Oh, Rodney.
Covered. Asked and answered.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Congratulations to Matthew Freese from Laverne. I got tickets for Death Cab for Cutie, the Grammy party. Your chance to win is coming up on the world-famous K-Rock. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:43.
Have we got time for one more look at the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday morning? What's new? What's happening? What's the latest, Ralph?
The Super Bowl is watched by a lot of people.
Oh, is that a popular TV broadcast?
It is. There you go. That's your update.
That's it? That's the full update?
Well, the ratings are in for the Super Bowl. And it turns out, once again, a lot of people watch it.
Okay.
It is not a television program that is ignored.
Of all the televisions that are on,
mm-hmm.
many of them had the Super Bowl broadcast on the screen at the time.
That sounds accurate.
Super Bowl 50 now holds the record for the third largest television audience ever. Didn't do as well as last year's Super Bowl, keep in mind.
Well, that was the exciting ending. Remember that, Ralph? Remember what happened last year in the Super Bowl?
I do. Was that the greatest ending of the Super Bowl ever?
Oh, man, what a shocker.
What an idiot would throw a pass in that situation. Oh, it was so fun. That was good.
That was a good time.
This thing on?
I don't know. I don't want to jump in because I didn't see the end. I only watched the last 30 seconds, and I just assumed the CX went. I turned it off.
Last year, a record 114 million people watched Super Bowl 49. This year, numbers are down just a smidge. A metric smidge. Not even an English smidge.
Okay.
112 million Americans watched.
What?
That doesn't even include the people who watch the game online.
What?
CBS said another 1.4 million viewers streamed the show on CBS and NFL properties, including Roku and Apple TV, Xbox One, Windows 10, etc., etc., etc.
You know, they always say when it comes to the World Series that large market cities make a difference in the numbers. I don't think that's the case for the Super Bowl. I mean, look at this. You got two pretty small market cities represented in the Super Bowl this year and almost record ratings.
Because football is a good sport versus the thing they do during the World Series. I think that
which
makes
is a great sport.
Too,
you're right.
Which is a big, big change in those two things. The discrepancy is
what sports is
not
being
small,
played. Right.
What I'm saying.
Yeah.
Speaking of the Super Bowl, remember Eli Manning's face? Up there in the box with the rest of the family, the Manning family was shooting off confetti cannons and
high-fiving
each other,
jumping into each other's arms.
They were making flapjacks. They were tossing flapjacks in the air, and they were doing Cirque du Soleil moves. And then Eli sort of cardboard cutout-ish.
He looked derpier than usual.
Well, there's an explanation now. TMZ caught up to good old Eli. And said, hey, what was up with that? The rest of the family was celebrating. You were less than jolly.
Did he say puppy monkey baby?
He didn't say puppy monkey baby, but he might as well have. Cameraman from TMZ asked him what was going on. He said, I was just focused on whether they'd go for two. And the defense had to step up and make some stops. Here's the thing. Here's the rub. Here's the thread that if you pull will unravel the sweater of lies Eli Manning is wearing.
Okay.
That shot was, they cut to him after Peyton threw the two-point conversion.
So they, I thought it was after the touchdown.
No.
Oh.
That's when the celebration was happening. They cut to the Manning family after he zipped in that two-point conversion ball. Best ball he threw of the whole game.
Yeah, it was.
They got
such a big liar.
They got the two. That's what the Manning family was celebrating, the two. So when he says, I was just focused on whether they'd go for two or not, he's a big liar.
Is it possible that he, as a quarterback, has to stay engaged until the final whistle? That he's actually thinking about the defense coming out and playing?
It was called. The hands were raised. They got the 2 points.
I agree. I'm disagreeing with what he said, but I'm saying, is it possible that as a quarterback, he was still thinking about the game until...
Well, they can come back and score twice and tie it up.
Who knows? Yeah.
In 3 minutes.
Otherwise, it doesn't make sense.
Because he's lying. That's why it doesn't make sense. And even if you are going to focus on the defense, when it comes out, his brother was still standing there on the field then. He couldn't take 30 seconds and give a hug to Archie or Cooper.
Yeah.
You can just plenty of time to re-engage and turn your attention back to the field.
I don't get it. I'm just trying to come up with anything that makes sense.
The ball. They haven't even kicked the ball down the field for Cam Newton and the offense to come back out on the field. So I think you're a liar too, Kevin. You're a liar. You're a liar supporting a liar.
I'm just trying to figure it out because it doesn't make sense to me.
Doesn't make sense. What do you think is really going on here, Ralph?
What I think is really going on here is Eli's disappointment in knowing now he knows who the favorite son is going to be forever. He knows this moves Manning into the top five QBs of all time. And he will be forever known as an also-ran.
Known that his whole life?
But he had two. He had the two rings, Kevin. His brother only had the one.
But who's disappointed to see good things happen to someone in their family, especially someone you're close to?
Let me think. Who feels that way?
I'm not.
Oh, I have an answer.
I wouldn't be.
Eli Manning.
But wouldn't this be like, Ralph?
Sweet
wouldn't
Jesus.
This be well, like Kevin, you?
Asked and answered. Sit down.
Let me throw this out. All right, Kevin, I'll ask you that.
All right.
If your brother won the Powerball and he was $500 million richer,
yes,
would you be thrilled for him or would you be sitting at home silently seething that now his life was better than yours?
Apples and oranges.
If you, why? Because same sort of thing. No, we're talking about brothers sort of here. Thing.
What if you went to the liquor store every day and played the Powerball and you had your numbers that you and faithfully every day you bought a ticket for the Powerball with your numbers every day for, let's say, 10, 15 years.
Right.
And then your brother wins the Powerball.
But my brother's been playing as long as I have, if this case is the same.
Right. It's not just, oh, something great happened to my brother, I'm going to be happy for him. What if you were doing the exact same thing, waiting for the exact same results your entire life, and your brother gets it, and you don't think anyone's watching, and in your heart of hearts, when you don't know anyone's looking, when everyone's celebrating around you, and you have a quiet moment of introspection to yourself, and you're not aware that the camera's broadcasting your face to 112 million people,
right?
Don't you say, oh.
No, I think first I need to know if the drummer gets any. And then maybe I have that face.
Well, Peyton's not cutting him off a piece of the ring. I'll tell you
that. I don't share that. So, all right, look.
What
it's
if he's
certainly
thinking,
possible.
What if he's thinking they have to kick off, and if the Panthers run it back for a touchdown, whole different game, still 3 minutes. What if?
Wouldn't he be thinking that at the kickoff?
Ralph's right. There's plenty of
time to
reset.
Time to buy between.
Listen, you're right.
The arms going up to signal the 2-point conversion. Then you got to get the offense off the field. You got to get special teams on the field. You have to kick the ball down the field, and then you can wait and see what the return's going to be.
Okay, it was odd.
How much time do you think happens between those two events?
Plenty for a smile. <You're asking. laughs>
Prosecution arrest, Your Honor. Kevin's going to jail.
I don't think I'm going to jail.
I've disproved your timetable, sir.
Think I'm going to jail.
The jury has heard.
I don't think so.
I just don't want to think of Eli being that tiny. But you could be right.
All evidence would prove point otherwise.
Look, it was a bizarre video.
I'm just saying, it was unnatural.
It really was.
It was unnatural.
Ralph has ruled.
Thank you so much. Not as unnatural as a puppy monkey baby, but still unnatural nonetheless. All right, now I've burned up all my showbiz time with my fury, my Eli Manning fury.
Oh, that's such a big liar.
Such a big liar. I was waiting to see if they'd go for two. You liar. You lying liar. Lies.
I get it.
And then they said, have you seen the memes? Have you seen all the memes of your face and everything online? And he's like, yeah, it's funny. Yeah, he doesn't think it's funny.
Yeah,
he's a liar squared. That's what I say to him. Liar squared.
Would you go so far as to say his pants were probably on fire?
I would. I would check his pants.
It's a pretty serious accusation.
I would check his pants for smoking embers. Because I think his britches en flambé.
You are killing me.
Thank you, Ronnie. I appreciate that. Today's celebrity birthdays, Michael B. Jordan is 29 years old. Even if you feel that way, though, even if you don't, if you're miserable because your brother just equaled or bested you.
You see the rest of your family celebrating.
Pretend. Put on the face.
Just for a second. High five someone.
That's how I know it's real, because he didn't even have the wherewithal to pretend to celebrate. And then secretly inside go, oh, that son of a bitch. He didn't have that. He was just so caught up in the true of the moment that his face belied him.
But what about me? His family was jumping up and down.
And he was way in the back, and he's like, oh, I'm safe. I'm going to let them celebrate. I'm going to
no one will see me.
Liar. Tom Hiddleston's 35 years old today. Charlie Day is 40. And Joe Pesci. Oh, Joe Pesci. Oh, Pesci.
Pesci.
Pesci. Remember Pesci a la mode?
Yes. Yes, I do.
We did a game.
Yes, we did.
For Depeche Mode tickets that was called Pesci a la mode. And it was Joe Pesci asking questions
correct,
about
yes.
ice cream.
That happened.
That's how we gave away tickets for a Depeche Mode
Look,
concert.
You do a lot of games, you got to come up with some stinkers.
Depeche a la Mode, I believe, was the name of the game. Not one of my more proud moments.
Is that it?
Do we have it?
Yeah, we have it.
When you want to go see Depeche Mode at
Staples Center.
Depeche a la Mode. Depeche a la Mode. Joe Pesci's going to ask you questions about ice cream. Depeche a la Mode. Depeche a la Mode. When you think we can't get any worse, we do stuff like this. Depeche a la Mode. Depeche a la Mode.
That happened.
I feel a lack of support from Omar regarding the idea of Depeche a la Mode in that intro.
Yeah, his heart wasn't in it.
Joe Pesci's 73 years old today. I'm Ralph Garno. Walk the Showbiz Beat.
All right. Now, I know that we told you yesterday that Eliza Schlesinger was going to come in today.
You're the Eli Manning of the Kevin and Bean Show, you lying liar.
But what I'm telling you is that she's going to come in tomorrow.
Ugh, liar.
Comedian Eliza Schlesinger will be here tomorrow morning. Longtime record producer L.A. Reid will be in studio as well. He's got a new book called Sing to Me. And we're going to go through The People versus O.J. Simpson, The Slow Speed Chase, tonight on FX. That's tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.